right, let's make some predictions. Major League Baseball season has already begun, technically, for the Dodgers and the Cubs, but for the other 28 teams in Major League Baseball, season begins on Thursday. So let's go through and try to throw some darts at a dartboard, see what we can make stick. Logan Weber here with you on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, with you till 9 o'clock tonight. JT Noah is my producer. So let's do this, JT. I want to go through and predict who ultimately wins the World Series, right? What two teams will meet up in the World Series? Who wins the major awards, MVP, Cy Young, you know, Rookie of the Year, those sorts of things. And then, you know, sort of go through some dark horse picks. Who are some players that could really see themselves emerge this season that hadn't previously? What are some Major League Baseball teams that we're not hearing talked about a lot who could make some serious noise? I first want to go through kind of these dark horse, so to speak. I like the idea of going through teams first and determining, you know, which teams that nobody's really talking about a lot right now that could really make some major, major noise in Major League Baseball this year. And I look at what ESPN put out earlier today, right? And as much of a cop-out as it is, I would say the Kansas City Royals or the Milwaukee Brewers. I like the Brewers because first things first, they're in a bad division, right? The Pirates have Paul Skeens and Mitch Keller, and that's about it. The Cardinals have completely renovated their roster. What can Mason Winn and Jordan Walker and Alec Burleson and some of the young prospects that the Cardinals have do without Paul Goldschmidt, without Nolan Arenado? It remains to be seen. I don't think the Cardinals are going to have a great year this year. The Cubs, they've had some good acquisitions. The Reds have some young pieces, but I still think the Brewers are that organization. I really, really like, what they've got in Jackson Chirio. Yelich should be back after the injury. You let Willie Adames go. You let Devin Williams go to the Yankees. So that hurts for sure. But I like this Brewers team as a team that they're predicted right now at like 80% or 80 wins. I could see them playing in a poor division in the NL Central, winning 88 to 90 games, which they seem to do on a year-to-year basis. And maybe knocking off a Braves team that deals with more injury issues and somehow finds themselves in an NLDS series or even an NLCS sort of series against the Dodgers. That's about the extent of what I've got for the National League. And then the Royals in the American League, if they can stay healthy, right? If Vinny Pasquantino can hit 300 with 20 or 30 home runs, Royals could be in a real good spot. It's just going to come down to, can they stay healthy and can they avoid regression from some of those big names like Salvi, Lugo, and Waka? Those would be my two picks for sort of dark horse contending teams.
I don't know if this is a dark horse team, but I'm going to say them anyway. It's in the same division as you in the NL Central, but I think the Cubs.
Mm.
I think the Cubs could do it. You got Tucker from the Astros. You've got some solid pitching if you can stay healthy. I think they have some young players out there. I know they lost Bellinger in center field, but I think they can do something. Like you said, it's a weak division, so they can win it. Just like the AL Central's weak, the NL Central's weak. Both Centrals are pretty weak. So I think they could win it, take it from the Brewers. I like the Cubs. And my other one is, I don't know if you want to, you can say if it's not a dark horse team, but I the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I think the Red Sox can do some damage. I don't know if they can win the AL East, but with the injury to Gerrit Cole, it does open the door a little bit for the Red Sox, but they've done some things out there that I like. I think getting Crochet is a really good pickup, obviously. Will they get him an extension? Bregman, correct, went out there. So the only thing you're worried about is how Devers does. I don't know where they're going to play Devers. Is he going to be playing first? Whatnot, but I think the Red Sox are a dark horse in the AL.
I like the Red Sox as a pick. I see them as less of a dark horse than, okay, than say, the Brewers or or the Royals. I like the Cubs as a dark horse for sure. I mean, the Red Sox are sort of like a fringe top 10 team in Major League Baseball. Okay. But again, when you look at Major League Baseball today, it's sort of like the Yankees, who will be without Gerrit Cole, which really throws a wrench into things.
Exactly.
The Braves as sort of like those second tier kind of teams. The Orioles will be very, very good again this year. A lot of people are talking very highly of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Corbins that are leading the way for them, Corbin Carroll and Corbin Burns.
They just lost Montgomery.
Lose Jordan Montgomery to Tommy John, so that's going to throw a major wrench into things. The Major League Baseball as a whole this year is very much dominated by the National League.
Yeah.
You've got the Braves, you've got the Phillies, you've got the Mets, you've got the Diamondbacks, and of course, you've got the team that is atop Major League Baseball, the defending champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles Dodgers, okay. Who seemingly continue to just print money and get better every year, even though they want to... I don't quite understand it. I do like what you're saying, though, with the Boston Red Sox. With the addition of Garrett Crochet, with Rafael Devers agreeing to move away from third, I agree. I don't know if it means first base. I think a lot of it is going to be DHing.
Yeah, that's
because
what I was
he's
thinking.
Not the best. He's not the best glove out there. So if he can DH every day, he's an upper echelon. He's a tier two, tier three hitter in this league. What really intrigues me though is the Red Sox have some really, really, really good prospects.
Prospects are high.
That are very close, right? You've got Roman Anthony, who is the number two prospect in baseball. You've got Christian Campbell, who was 26th, I think, in the latest top 100, who might end up being the opening day starter for the Red Sox at second base. And then Marcelo Meyer, who's the number four prospect in baseball. So those three guys, if they can come in and hit the ground running, any one of those three guys could be a contender for American League Rookie of the Year, which could make things fascinating for the Boston Red Sox in the long haul. So I like both of those. All right, let's go through some award predictions, right? Let's start with the big one. Let's start with MVP. MVP of each league, American League, National League. Mine's going to be pretty cut and dry. I'm not going to throw out an outlandish take here. The MVP of the National League will be Shohei Ohtani. Now that he's going to be two-waying again and he's going to be hitting and pitching, he doesn't have to put together the first 50-50 season we've ever seen to win MVP. He's going to hit 35 home runs, 40 home runs. He's going to steal 25 or 30 bags. He's going to strike out 200 batters. He's going to win 15 games. He's the only guy in Major League Baseball that's doing it. He's going to win his fourth MVP. I'm sorry. Unless Ronald Acuna Jr. comes back healthy and puts together another just insane season. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the American League MVP. Write it down now. Okay, take it to Vegas. Put your money down. Take it to the boat. Take it to Ameristar. Put it down. Not that you can do that right now, but put your money on a Bobby Witt Jr. AL MVP. And if I had to pick guys that could finish second for that award in the National League, I like Kyle Tucker. Playing for the Cubbies this year as a 30-30 guy for Chicago. If he can put together that kind of year, he could put Cubbies in contention and he could be an MVP type candidate in the National League. And in the American League, I'm not going to go with Aaron Judge because he's just continues to win it every single year. And I'm not going to just continue to pick that guy. Why not go with another shortstop guy like Gunnar Henderson or the Baltimore Orioles? But I think that this year it's Bobby Witt Jr.'s award to lose.
You really do?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm keeping it cut and dry. It's Aaron Judge in the AL. Second would be Bobby. I think it's going to be that two horse race again.
Mm.
And they might give it to Bobby because you get fatigue. You know, there's the voter fatigue sometimes. They might give it to Bobby. The NL, I like your pick, Shohei Ohtani. I mean...
Just the same MVPs as last year, huh?
Right. But I don't think he wins it. I think he gets second.
Who do you think wins NL MVP?
I think it's Juan Soto going to the New York Mets.
Wow.
I'm going out there with a wild one, but I think Juan Soto puts the Mets on his back, gets them into the playoffs, And he gets to New York love, and he wins the MVP.
Wow. I did not anticipate a Juan Soto MVP season, but frankly, I wouldn't be all that surprised by it if it were to happen. A lot more to get to here. Cy Young Award winners, Rookie of the Year Award winners, ultimately who we see in the World Series, and our World Series winner. All of those predictions and prognostications coming up next. You're listening to After Hours with Logan Weber alongside producer JT Noah right here on 96.5 The Fan. Who do we think walks away with Major League Baseball's Cy Young Awards? The Reliever of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, along with who we think makes the World Series and ultimately who wins the World Series. That's what we're talking about right now on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. JT Noah is alongside. We already made our predictions on some dark horse teams in Major League Baseball that could make a push in the postseason. I went with the Brewers and the Royals. JT went with the Cubs and the Red Sox. Like those picks. For MVP of the American League, I went with Bobby Witt Jr. and I went with Shohei Ohtani in the National League. JT, you went with Aaron Judge in the American League and Juan Soto in the National League. So let's move on now to the Cy Young Award. And is it a slight cop-out? Yeah, probably. But based off of the numbers, I would be hard-pressed to go against the betting favorites as of right now. Tarik Skubal with the Detroit Tigers after the year he had last year, he's my pick. I think if Paul Skenes would have had a full season of work under his belt last year, he would have won the National League Cy Young Award. I think he does that this year. I'm going with Paul Skenes and Tarik Skubal to win the Cy Young Awards in each league.
Well, to be different than you.
Okay, I respect that.
I'm sticking with my NL. We have the same NL. Paul Skenes, I think, should win this award. But for the American League, I'm going different. It's staying in the Central. And I'm not going with the Royal.
Oh.
I think it's coming back after an injury, Shane Bieber. I think Shane Bieber can do what he's done for the Guardians. I know he had injuries last year, but I think Shane Bieber, when fully healthy, can be the second best pitcher in the I know it's crazy to say, but the American League and in the American League Central, because Skubal is something different. It's crazy to think, wow, yeah, you're the second best pitcher possibly in the same division, but the second best in the whole American League.
Yeah, man.
Because Gerrit Cole's out. You can't go, okay, Gerrit Cole. No, I think the two best pitchers, maybe three best pitchers, are in the American League, and they're in the American League Central.
Very well could be. Another name that I look for in the American League, at least, Garrett Crochet. Now with the Boston Red Sox, he went 6-12 last year with the White Sox, but he had a 3.58 ERA. And he struck out 209 batters.
I'm sorry, he's 6-12, but he was with the worst team in baseball.
Exactly. So playing on a better team with a little bit more adequate run support, maybe better defense behind him, more of a desire to win because there's an opportunity to win. There was no opportunity to win in Chicago. Didn't matter what he did. He could throw seven innings and give up one run, and he would walk away with an L because the White Sox had nothing going for them. So I could see him having a really, really exceptional year. That 3.58 ERA is the highest of his career so far. It was his first year as a starter. You know, he's now got a year as a starting pitcher under his belt, playing on a much better team. I could see Garrett Crochet putting together some really good things.
Also, another one could be Red Sox. DeGrom. You could see maybe DeGrom with the Rangers or even Scherzer going up to Toronto. I mean,
Scherzer's the one with the Rangers. If he can stay healthy,
he's with Toronto now.
Or not Scherzer, sorry, DeGrom with the Rangers. If he could stay healthy, man, like he was the best pitcher in baseball for a three-year stretch there with the Mets. I mean, like a sub-2 ERA was not out of the ordinary for Jacob DeGrom when he was with New York. And then the injuries completely derailed him. If he can stay healthy, he could certainly make a push. And if he can stay healthy, that pushes the Rangers into one of those categories of being a dark horse contending team in Major League Baseball, especially with the injuries that the Yankees are dealing with Cole out for the year, and you lost Luis Gill for a little while, although they did pick up Max Fried, which I think is great. I think that there is an opening in the American League that doesn't necessarily exist in the National League, which is dominated by those top four or five teams with the Braves and the Phillies and the Mets. And of course, the team atop everybody, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers. We go now to the reliever of the year. And again, my picks are not going to be fun. They're not going to be wild card sort of picks. Emmanuel Clase, American League rookie of the year, reliever of the year. Sorry. The guy had a 0.61 ERA last year. He gave up 5 runs in 74 and a third innings. That's disgusting. He gave up, on average, an earned run per like 14 innings of work. That's unbelievable. Is he going to have the same kind of year as he did last year? No, maybe not. But if his 0.61 ERA balloons to a 1.5, he's still probably going to walk away with the American League reliever of the year. And that's why he's one of the big reasons why I still lean towards the Guardians as the team to beat in the AL Central. Because if the Guardians get it to the eighth or the ninth inning and Clase's on the bump, they are damn near impossible to beat. I'm going with Emmanuel Clase to be the AL reliever of the year. NL reliever of the year, Raisel Iglesias of the Atlanta Braves. He had a really good year last year. 1.95 ERA. He went 6-2. He had 34 saves. But he didn't have a lot of save opportunities last year with the Braves because their win totals were down. Right? With the injuries that they dealt with, especially to Ronald Acuna Jr., they were a team that was predicted at 101.5 wins. They only won 89. So if they can get back to a team that's a 95 to 98 win ball club, that gives Iglesias more opportunities to pitch in high leverage spots late in games and pick up more saves. He didn't, you know, Ryan Helsley had a great year with the Cardinals last year. He picked up 48 saves. The Cardinals are not going to be a good baseball team this year. So that opens the door even more to who is that guy in the eighth and ninth inning in the National League. I think it's Raisel Iglesias that's going to be that dude for the Braves.
Okay. So I got two different players than you on this
one.
For the AL, I think it's going to Mason Miller of the A's. Because I think the A's are going to be better than what they were last year. They're going to actually, I think they have a chance to fight for the last wild card spot. Not saying they're going to get it, but I think they're going to have a chance to fight for it. Then on the NL side, I'm going with maybe a not so broad pick, but I'm going Tanner Scott of the Dodgers. I think he's going to blossom in LA, and he's going to have enough chances to be getting saves and stuff. I think he's going to be dominant for the LA Dodgers. So I've got Tanner Scott of the Dodgers, and I have Mason Miller of the A's.
See, I looked at Tanner Scott. My concern with Tanner Scott is not him. It's his team. And in all the all the right ways, right?
Yeah, because
this Dodgers team is so talented up and down their line. I mean, they've got guys that are going to be Hall of Famers batting in the 5 and 6 hole, right? I mean, like,
it's insane.
They have unbelievable talent. I mean, when you're looking at that top four with Ohtani and Freeman and Mookie Betts and Will Smith, and the list goes on and on. And I mean, they pick up Tommy Edman, who is like where did that guy come from in the postseason? That's not the guy I ever saw in St. Louis in all my years covering
them. And then he started the season hot in Tokyo with a home run and a couple hits. It's like, wow, okay.
And then you look at the starting pitching rotation, which is unbelievable. Their bullpen is unbelievable. I think that it might be a situation where Tanner Scott only has 35 or 40 save opportunities on the year because the Dodgers are killing everybody in their path, right? Not a lot of save opportunities for Tanner Scott when the Dodgers are up 11-3. So I think that could potentially hurt his chances. That's one of the big reasons why I strayed away from him. And then finally, we've got the Rookie of the Year awards for the American League and the National League. And this is the one that I've probably struggled with the most. Not necessarily in the National League, because in the NL, I really lean towards Roki Sasaki of the Dodgers. Either him or another name. I mean, Dylan Cruz with the Nationals could be an intriguing one, but the Nationals are so bad. He doesn't really have a lot of guys to support him around him, right? He doesn't have the support that Gunnar Henderson and you know, others, guys like Gunnar Henderson had in Baltimore. So I don't know, dude. Like, it's that's tough. In the American League, I'm probably leaning Jason Dominguez from the New York Yankees. I would like to go with one of those two guys from the Red Sox we were talking about earlier with Christian Campbell or Roman Anthony, but you know, they may be pulling votes away from one another because they're playing on the same ball club. Going back to the A's thing, like, is Jacob Wilson a guy that could make some noise, right? Kumar Rocker from the Rangers, could he make some noise? I don't know. I kind of lean towards Dominguez, though, with the Yankees for the AL Rookie of the Year.
So I lean Dominguez as well, but I saw the video today that's made my heart go somewhere else. I think Cameron Smith, I don't know if you saw the video of Cameron Smith for the Astros, where they brought in his family to let him know that he had made the opening day roster.
Yeah.
That was that brought a tear to the heart. So I'm going to go with the little heart motion there, and I'm going to go with Cameron Smith of the Astros as a starting third baseman who's got big shoes to fill in Bregman, who's left.
That he does. And it's a really, really cool story. A couple of them in Major League Baseball this year. The first is Cam Smith, who, 22-year-old, right? He was drafted last year and will be on the opening day roster. He did not play minor league baseball.
Right,
or,
yeah.
I guess
somewhat, but he was traded.
He only played like 30 games.
He was one of the trade pieces for Tucker for
Correct.
The Cubs.
Correct. He was picked 14th overall by the Cubs in July of last year, played in 32 games, then was a part of the huge deal that sent Kyle Tucker to Chicago, and now will be on this major league roster. He is, with this, right, only 32 games of minor league baseball. It is the third fewest games played by a position player before making it to the show since 1965. I am going to butcher at least one of these names, if not both. The only other guys to do it sooner, Pete Incaviglia of the Texas Rangers in 1986. He did not play a single game in minor league baseball before getting the call to the show. And John Olerud in 1990 from the Blue Jays got called up after just six games. So in the last 60 years of Major League Baseball, only two other guys have had a faster trajectory to the big leagues than Cam Smith. And the other one is Ryan Johnson, who was a second-round pick last year of the Los Angeles Angels out of Dallas Baptist, who did not pitch at all in minor league baseball, but made the opening day roster for the Los Angeles Angels, becoming the first player since Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox to go straight from, you know, straight from the draft to the major leagues. Now, the difference is, for Crochet, that was in 2020. They didn't have a minor league season because of COVID-19. So even if he, you know, wanted to pitch in the minors that year, he couldn't. So that's a stark contrast with him and Johnson, because Johnson could have, didn't, and still made the opening day roster for the Angels the next year. Now, are the Angels a bad baseball team right now?
Yep.
They most definitely are. But now, it is a fascinating story.
Now, my NL Rookie of the Year, if it's not Rookie Sasaki, it would be Matt Shaw for the Cubs. Ooh. And I think it's because of the Cubs, I think, are going to be a better team this year. He's going to get enough playing time, and they're not going to be terrible. I would love to see Dylan Cruz be awesome for the Nationals. I just don't think he's going to get the recognition because of the team he's on. Matt Shaw, on the other hand, I think he'll get the recognition for how he's playing because of the team he's playing on. So if I had to go with someone else other than Roki, it would be Matt Shaw.
913-586-7965. It's Crochet, man. Okay, that's what I thought.
Did I say it wrong?
You said Crochet.
And it's Crochet,
I had always thought that it was Garrett Crochet.
Yeah,
and Crochet, so when you said it like that, I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. So I started saying it the way you were pronouncing it, and it was throwing me off, and now we're getting a ton of flack for it.
Yeah,
the text
line. The T's silent crochet.
We will both apologize for our actions there. Yeah, Garrett Crochet. I thought that's the way I'd always pronounced it.
My hands up. Blame me. Yep.
I don't claim to be the biggest Major League Baseball fan, so if there's somebody around me that I believe is a bigger Major League Baseball guy, and that's how they pronounce it, that's how I'll go with it.
Right? I had to look up the odds to make a pick for all these picks, pretty much.
Like, when the Royals picked up Carlos Estevez, I read the last name and immediately thought of Emilio Estevez. And so I was pronouncing it Carlos Estevez. And they're like, no, it's Estevez. And I'm like, see, you know,
We don't get pronunciation sheets, folks.
I'm not the biggest baseball. Again, admittedly, I do not know how to pronounce the new acquisition, the Brewers, Mark Cana. Is it Mark? I always pronounce it Mark Cana when I would read it, like on MLB The Show. No idea how to pronounce that guy's last name. I will be the first to admit it. So if you have a proper pronunciation, let me know. 913-586-7965 is our number. We're going to make our World Series predictions on the other side of this break. Who we think ultimately get to the Fall Classic and who walks away with the Commissioner's Trophy. That's coming up on the other side of this break. You're listening to After Hours with Logan Weber and JT Noah here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's the culmination of our predictions for the Major League Baseball season. We went through dark horse teams and players. We went through MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, all the things. Now it's time to get into the nitty-gritty of who we think represents the American League and the National League in the World Series in October, and who we ultimately think will win the World Series. I'll start. Or JT, let's take it back a second. I've been going through first on all these. I feel like I've been taking some of your picks, so I will allow you to go first. Give me your World Series matchup. Who's representing the AL? Who's representing the National League coming up in the Fall Classic?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I think we both have the same NL team.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We both have the team that's in the NL West. It has the same colors as our boys in blue. It's called the LA Dodgers.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I think we might be different here in the AL. I could be wrong. I talked about my dark horse, the Red Sox. I think they get to the ALCS. I think they play the World Series contender and the World Series for the AL in the Cleveland Guardians.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You have the Guardians getting all the way to the World Series.
I do.
Huh?
I know. It's going to hurt people in Kansas City, but I think the Guardians have a recipe to make it to the World Series.
Wow.
When you have a bullpen, they have, which to me, it feels like if they can get to the seventh inning, that it's going to be hard to get runs across against them. I'm not saying it's an HDH kind of way. I'm just saying they have the closest recipe to an HDH that we've seen in quite some time, where I feel like they could get to the seventh inning, it's going to be tough as nails to get a run across the board. So I think they shorten the game and put a lot of pressure on their opponent.
Wow, I cannot say I saw that one coming. If you would have asked me a month ago to go through this, I probably would have leaned towards a Yankees-Dodgers rematch.
Oh, I was too. Then Garrett Cole got hurt.
Garrett Cole gets hurt, and I know they've got Max Fried. I know that Luis Gill will be back healthy at some point. But I without Garrett Cole, without your de facto ace, that changes things. Your rotation gets a little bit shorter, right? It's not quite as deep as it was. Giancarlo Stanton continues to battle injuries throughout his career.
And how slow is he?
Very slow.
Bob Costas is so sad about it.
He's only getting older. Aaron Judge is a year older, although I don't think that he's going to be hitting any bumps in the road yet. And you lost Juan Soto, right? And Cody Bellinger is an apt replacement, but that's all he is a replacement. He is not better than Juan Soto, I don't think, at any singular aspect of the game of baseball.
I would say he makes the Yankees weird way better defensively because you can move him to center and put Judge in right field.
Theoretically, yes. But Soto had a better arm than Bellinger, although he may not have been as good a glove at times. His Soto didn't have the same sort of... Bellinger and what he does from a fielding standpoint, it just kind of comes naturally. He's got instincts for it. Instincts is the word I'm looking for. Soto didn't always kind of feel like he had the instincts for it, although he felt like a much better athlete at the outfield, in the outfield spot than Bellinger. So I think with the loss of Gerrit Cole and with Soto out and Bellinger in, I just think this Yankees team isn't as good as they were a year ago. I'm going to stay in the American League East, though. I think the Baltimore Orioles get to the World Series.
What? No way. No way. No way. I thought you were going with my dark horse Red Sox, and you went the other way.
I like this Orioles team a lot.
Wow.
Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman have done so well early on in their careers. I think they will only continue to improve. Losing Anthony Santander does give you some concern in the outfield for this team. But, you know, Colton Cowser is another very, very young prospect who could do some things. They picked up Tyler O'Neill from the Red Sox, coming over, a former St. Louis Cardinal guy. You know, you still have Cedric Mullins seemingly there in center field. I think that the catalyst for this Orioles team might lie in former top prospect Jackson Holliday. If Jackson Holliday can push himself into a position where he is a middle of the lineup guy in second base, at second base for this Orioles team, and you pair him with Rutschman, with Gunnar Henderson, with Cowser, this is one of the best young lineups in Major League Baseball. The starting pitching, yeah, I don't know, right? I like Trevor Rodriguez. I like Trevor Rogers, and Grayson Rodriguez. Can Charlie Morton at 41 years old be that guy again? I don't know, but maybe he can give you something. I like this Orioles team a lot. I really, really do. And I lean towards them representing the American League in the World Series against, you just mentioned them, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sorry. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
Who do you think could maybe, say the Dodgers just have a slip, a bad series? Who do you think could be that team that could take advantage of a bad series against the Dodgers?
A healthy Braves team. It's the only thing. That's the only team I believe can truly knock them off their pedestal. The Braves have to be completely healthy, and the Dodgers have to have a bad run. They have to play bad 4 out of 7 games in a series, and I think the Braves might be the only team, if that were to happen, that could still beat them. And they got to have Acuña back healthy. I know they lost Max Fried, but Chris Sale is coming off of a Cy Young winning season, and the Braves are getting Spencer Strider and a couple of other pitching arms back after they missed a big chunk, if not all of last season. I think this Braves team could be very, very good. I've got their closer winning the National League Reliever of the Year anyway, so I think that their bullpen will have some great arms out there as well. They would be the only team, in my opinion, that could beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series. And again, the caveat being the Braves would have to be incredibly healthy at that point, 175 games into the season, and the Dodgers would have to play bad baseball for a week and a half. Both of those things I'm not entirely sure are possible. But I cannot in good conscience look at these teams on paper before the season starts and say, oh, this team's going to make the World Series instead of the Dodgers. Because the Dodgers roster is unbelievable. They've got 4 MVP candidates. They've got 2 Rookie of the Year candidates. They've got 4 Cy Young Award candidates. They've got 2 Reliever of the Year candidates. Theoretically, they could just sweep every major award in the National League this year. That's how good they are top to bottom, because they have broken Major League Baseball and have more money than God.
I don't think in good conscience you could say, hey, Roberts gets Manager of the Year even if they have the best record. I just can't see that. Like,
probably not. That's maybe the only award that they don't stand the greatest chance of winning right now.
Yeah.
With Sasaki as your Rookie of the Year, Tanner Scott Reliever of the Year, right?
You could even give it to Kirby, maybe. Kirby. Or, right? Am I saying, was it George? Is it George Kirby? But I have Kirby, who rescinded his career last year, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's done." And then all of a sudden, he came back, and they were like, "Oh, he's good again."
Yeah, and then you look at the starting pitching rotation with, Yamamoto and Otani and Blake Snell. You know, I mentioned Sasaki as a
Glasnow,
rookie.
Right?
Yeah, Tyler Glasnow. Dustin May could be coming back.
I mean, you don't have to have him. He's just
you don't need him.
He's like an extra piece. You're like, okay, cool, I got him.
He's kind of just like your sixth guy at the moment. And then, yeah, the rotate, you know, the lineup, you, oh, let's just go Austin Barnes and Will Smith catching. Oh, cool. Great. Mookie Betts playing shortstop. Freddie Freeman at first base. You know, Max Muncy at third. Just, yeah, let's continue to throw this out there, right? Yeah, Shohei's DHing. Great. Absolutely. Teoscar Hernandez is playing left field. Cool. Let's just.
Just throw Hernandez back out there, yeah.
Just continue to load it up, man. Just continue to load it up. Unbelievable. All right. So let's culminate it right now. You've got Dodgers Guardians. I've got Dodgers Orioles in the World Series. Who's your World Series champion, JT?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. I wish I could do something fun.
We like, can't. We can't.
The Orioles are going to beat them in seven. No. Gunnar Henderson walk-off home run. No, it's not going to happen. Sorry. Dodgers are going to win the World Series. Unless half the Dodgers lineup gets hurt. In which case, they'll just trade and print more money and bring on more guys, and then they'll have...
Roll the money back till 2046, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they won't be paying at this point, right? They'll give Shohei Ohtani another extension in which his great-great-grandchildren will be picking up paychecks from the Dodgers at this point because they've broken Major League Baseball. 913-586-7965 is our number. One more segment coming up here on tonight's program. We'll get things wrapped up here on this Tuesday night on another edition of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber, JT Noah producing, your home for Kansas City sports. Final few minutes of the program here tonight. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. JT Noah is producing. We talked Major League Baseball. We talked about the glory that was today for me as an Iowa fan who went to Northwest Missouri State with Ben McCollum being announced officially as the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes in a press conference. We talked about Mizzou and what's going on with the transfer portal with them. KU, nothing yet. No guys have gone into the portal yet. I know that they're very active in recruiting guys in the portal, including a couple of guys from Iowa who are in the portal right now, and Owen Freeman and Josh Dix. But a lot to be made of that. Last couple of minutes I've got for you. Sweet 16 preview. Got some good games coming up. I was looking at my bracket earlier today. JT, 13 out of 16 on my Sweet 16 teams. The only ones I missed on, I had Drake and St. John's meeting in the Sweet 16 of the West region. So I did miss on that one. I'm trying to think of the other one that I missed. Oh, the other one that I missed was I didn't have six-seeded Ole Miss getting to the Sweet 16. I had Iowa State, Michigan State. So outside of that, nailed it. Auburn, Michigan, Duke, Arizona, BYU, Alabama, Florida, Maryland, Houston, Purdue, Kentucky, Tennessee. Absolutely hit the nail on the head with those. So all eight of my Elite Eight teams are still on the board right now. My four Final Four teams, which are Maryland. I want to say, yeah, I had Maryland in the suites in the Final Four. I had Tennessee in the Final Four, and then I had Duke and Auburn. Duke is my national champion, beating Auburn in the title game. So as things stand right now, I feel pretty good.
So I'm only missing one of my Final Four teams. We talked about this. I said I took a dark horse shot at Gonzaga, and I said the winner of the Houston-Gonzaga game was going to make the Final Four. So Houston better hold up to their end of the bargain, because I think both of those teams could have made a run. My other three are, wildly enough, another very, I would say, tough one for me. I would say is... I have Florida. I'm worried about Florida because I think Texas Tech could beat Florida. But I have Florida, Auburn, Duke, and then I guess now it would be Houston, but I had Gonzaga.
Oh, interesting.
But the Texas Tech-Florida game is going to be so good come Elite Eight.
I don't know, man. I've got Maryland beating Florida in the Sweet 16.
I just don't see it.
I've got Maryland in my Final Four. I love the look of that basketball team.
You like the Crab Five?
I like the Crab Five. They get up and down, and they can fill it
that
up.
That Derek Queen shot was insane.
Derek Queen is a dog, straight up. Played at Montverde Academy with Cooper
give
Flagg.
Give me the MF ball, coach.
He wanted it, and he got it, and he made it happen. And that'll do it for tonight's program. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. For our producer, JT Noah, I'm Logan Weber. We out.